Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson. In this podcast, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. In today's episode, we're talking to Andrew Kozlovsky, a college senior at the University of Southern California and entrepreneur behind the company Brains Power. Andrew's company produces a cognitive enhancement supplement known as nootropics, or more commonly as smart drugs. However, Andrew's supplement is comprised of 100% FDA-approved ingredients and has shown to help his customers with enhancing memory, focus, and overall brain health, all without the use of caffeine, which gives you the benefits of neural stimulation without the jitters and subsequent afternoon crash. Andrew got started on creating Brains Powers back when he began his college career, when he noticed how many of his fellow students were taking and arguably abusing the prescription drug Adderall. He started researching healthier, non-addictive alternatives and eventually partnered with the FDA-approved lab that he still uses today to produce a proprietary mixture of all-natural ingredients. After just 6 weeks of selling the supplement when his first shipment arrived, Andrew was bringing in over $1,000 a day. And since then, he's grown an Instagram following of more than 100,000 people for his brand. And he plans on expanding through major distributors when he graduates college in the spring. In this episode, Andrew and I are talking about how he went from initial idea to manufacturing a cognitive enhancement supplement at an FDA-licensed laboratory, all while taking on a full course load at USC. We're diving into the tactics and strategies he used to grow his Instagram community to over 100,000 followers and how he's used that audience to consistently generate more than $1,000 a day for his business. We're hearing about how he balances his course load with running a business, his order fulfillment process that involves hiring a dropshipper so he's not personally packaging up orders, and so much more. As always, you can find everything we mentioned in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with Andrew Kozlovsky. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Ryan.
All right. So I've got a warm-up question for you that I've been asking all of my guests, and I would be curious to hear from your end too. What book are you reading right now, or what's been your favorite recently?
So my favorite book, I would have to say, is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, along with The Alchemist. I think those are my two favorite that I've always read. And whenever I find myself in kind of like a little stuck area in business or mentally, and I'm not like very ambitious and just wanting to do a lot of things, I always come back and I read those books. And then it kind of frames my mind back to how I know that I'm supposed to think daily.
I like that. Do you have like particular sections that you know to jump to in those books, or is it sort of like a, you know, front to back?
So I think you have to do both front to back, just because it is basically a extremely psychological book. The book, The Alchemist, is a story. So you kind of have to do the whole thing in order to get the entire message. And then the other book is just super, basically business psychology, how you're supposed to think to be successful. So yeah, I would say you have to do the entire, it's highlighted so much and I have so many notes in it, so I could probably just get away with reading the highlighted parts. But if I have time, which I usually don't anymore, but I wish I did, but there are so many books I would love to reread, but, being a businessman, it gets kind of hard every now and then, you know?
Yeah. And speaking of reading a lot and not having much free time, you're currently an undergrad. You're studying at University of Southern California, USC, down in Los Angeles. So how long have you been at USC?
So this is going to be my third year at USC. I did my first year in Georgia State in Atlanta, where I was born and raised. And then I ended up transferring to USC because I didn't really know what I was going to do my first year of college. And then I kind of came to the realization that I was going to be an entrepreneur, and I was surrounded by the wrong people and the wrong staff and teachers. Mm. So I immediately started researching for entrepreneurship schools. And I was also taking the location of where the entrepreneurship school was into account. And I felt that going to this school, because of their program, because of their location, was just the best thing for my long-term well-being as like an entrepreneur. And going through the whole process, I think it was definitely the right move, because I've had some of the best like networking opportunities, connections, even like the classmates here, they're like me. Like, there are a lot of people actually starting businesses in college. that wasn't the atmosphere that it was at Georgia State. And I didn't know how important that was when I was applying out of high school.
Yeah, you mentioned something I really want to highlight there is that, you know, I can really relate to what you just said about, you know, finding people who are mentors or, you know, potential business partners or even just people where, you know, you can develop long-term relationships with who are interested in the same things you are, right? Entrepreneurship, business. And going through college, I had the same experience where I went on to co-found a company with one of my best friends from school and, you know, have gone on to do business with other people from school too. So I like that. I like that, you know, that you figured out this decision, you know, sooner rather than later, right? Like it's never too late to switch schools and transplant your network essentially.
Yeah. And one of the first things I did when I first came here was I emailed every single entrepreneurship professor in the entire department. And I just said, you know, this is my company. These are my ambitions. Could I please sit down with you for, you know, 10, 15, maybe 30 minutes and just kind of pick your brain, get some advice from you? Because most professors here that are in entrepreneurship have already grown successful businesses. So I met with everyone that would meet with me. And thankfully, most of them did become mentors, and I still email them with questions, or if I get like an article written about me or anything like that, they're like the first people that know. So it's like really great to just have like these people backing you that I really didn't have back where I'm from.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you recognize the need for that. So let's actually talk about your company. It's called Brains Power. It's a, you know, at its core, the product, main product at least, is a cognitive enhancement supplement, and it's taken in pill form. So can you tell us, you know, more about the company, the product, and when you got started on it?
Okay, so just a little background is I wanted to, so my parents, they own a company, and I worked in there from 16 to 17. And during that time, I just realized that I could not work for someone because I just didn't like people putting restrictions on me. Like even when I was 16, 17 years old, I wanted to be like a massive impact in business. As far as sales go, impact, website views, just like everything. I wanted to like be really good at what I did. And they just, I mean, it's understandable. You don't want a 16-year-old running your company or anything. So, and, like the reasons behind it, but it just drove me insane. So I knew that I needed to be a business owner. So when I started my freshman year, I became very obsessed with just learning. So I read 50 business books within a 3-month period. I was listening to interviews all day. I was listening to basically any information from anyone's sales courses, just anything I could get my hands on. And then what I found out is the sooner you start, the better is what everybody says. Everyone that was successful in business, they're like, I wish I started sooner. So I was like, all right, I'm going to start as soon as possible. I just need to find an idea that number one is within my financial capability, because I only had $500 at the time. I was 18, 19 years old. And then I just started writing every single business idea down, just thinking. And this was also when I was starting my freshman year. So here's where the story kind of begins. Everyone was taking a drug called Adderall freshman year. And it's basically a prescribed drug for people with ADHD that helps them focus better. But it's kind of known in college as like a study drug, because you can just really bang out work. You just sit down and it's basically an amphetamine, but it you can only get it if you have ADHD. But the problem is everyone taking in college doesn't have it. And I was also an athlete freshman year. I was a swimmer. So I was super against putting anything into my body that was not good. So I was like, okay, I need a natural alternative to this thing that everyone is taking. But I also went to the doctor and I was like, could I get this? And they were just like, are you kidding me? Like, do you have ADHD? I was like, no. And he was like, then it's not for you. And then I researched it and I realized how bad it was. It's very addictive. You don't eat, you don't sleep. It's extremely harmful for the body. So I looked up a natural solution and there wasn't anything. And then that's when I kind of got this business idea in my head, and I just couldn't stop thinking about it. I was like, how can no one be doing this? Like, it's such a huge market. Every student wants something like this. And then I was doing a little bit of research, and then I found a few companies that were doing it, but they were just like not talking to the people that needed it. They weren't talking to college students, the main people that needed to know about a product like this. And that's when the idea came into my head that I could start this as a business. So then I sat down and I researched every ingredient ever known to do these type of effects of increasing memory, productivity, stress relief, just like a total brain, like what affects the brain that's natural, like herbs, and just I figured out everything. And then I went to manufacturers in the US only because I just wanted the quality to be the best. I didn't want to go overseas or to China or anything where it might be cheaper, but you might go down in quality. So I went to everyone and I was like, hey, I want to start something with these. And I had a list of 50 ingredients. I was like, what do you have? Like, what's possible? And I ended up partnering with someone that could give me 9 of those 50 ingredients that I found, just because some were hard to get or some you couldn't even get, and some you can't mix together. So for various reasons, some got eliminated. And then that's where the product is born. And just a little bit more information is, because I was creating a product for college students and I was a college student, I knew where their attention was. I knew what kind of label would have to be designed in order to get their attention or get their interest or explain to them clearly what the product is. I mean, if you just look at the label, it says brains on the bottle. So you already know it's for your brain. Then there's a focus memory written on. It's very clear. Like, you don't have to think at all. When you see other bottles for supplements, it says a lot, and you just have to read the entire label just to understand. But with mine, you just look at the label once and then you know exactly what it is. And the other thing is, I knew all college students, like I was at the time, were on Instagram almost all day. So I knew that if I wanted to basically get to them, put the product in front of the people that needed to see it, I needed to build brand equity on Instagram. And that's when I started sitting for, you know, 10 hours a day, every single day, trying to figure out Instagram prior to launching the company. And then when this was kind of in sync with finding the right manufacturer, and I was like, all right, I know how to get to them and I know what product I'm going to do. And the person I partnered with, he had a minimum order of 24 bottles instead of, like, for say, if you go to China, your minimum order is 1,000 bottles. So I didn't have the money to do that. So I just with the research, I found the perfect person to partner with. And yeah, that's how it was born. And then as an entrepreneur, I feel like you have to try everything. You have to push all the buttons before you know what works. And that's what I did. I started and I thought that some things would work, you know, like on Instagram, I was like, oh, this strategy is definitely going to work. This won't. And that's so untrue. Like, I remember when I started my first day, I remember even to this day so clearly, I get my 24 bottles and I just look at them and I was like so happy. I was like, God, this is exciting. I'm finally doing it. I'm doing it on my own. Like, these are mine. I created them from scratch and I'm going to sell out today. I'm going to post it on Instagram. All of them are going to be gone. I don't have enough money to buy more. What am I going to do? Long story short, I didn't sell a single bottle that day. I didn't sell one the next day. And then I just kept trying harder. I kept trying different things. And then I finally sold one. And it was like the most euphoric feeling when you sell your first product from your first company. And especially at such a young age, I was just so excited about everything. And then after that, I kept doing the thing, poking all the buttons and everything. And, you know, 6 weeks into the business, I ended up figuring out a way to make $1,000 in revenue in one day. So everything happened very quickly with brains. And
so you covered a lot here that I want to go back and dig into before we get too far away from it, because I think the early part of this journey is really important, right? And when you mentioned that, you know, your first day when you received this first order, you posted a picture of it on Instagram and you were expecting everyone to buy, be completely sold out. And I think that's a really common experience that people have. And it's sort of like an expectation setter, right? Like, I've been through this myself, to where, you know, my first shipment of product arrive, post a picture on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. And, you know, it's the sound of crickets. And I think that's something where, you know, when you first got started, did you have some sort of like plan in mind for how you were going to begin promoting these, aside from, you know, just Instagram? Or was that really sort of like the main growth channel you were focused on?
So that was the only thing I was focused on, because I knew that if I could succeed there, it would be massively more impactful than half-assing Facebook, Twitter, search engine optimization, all of these things, backlinks. I just knew that if I went all in on one, that my theory in business is if you want to succeed, you have to be the best in one single thing. And I wanted to be the brand that made it on Instagram for this specific category. I wanted to be the best, the most followers, most engagement, whatever, best pictures. I just wanted to be the best in this like one specific thing. And that's what I set out to do. And as far as strategy goes, I did have, with all those months of research, I knew how to get followers to a certain extent. I knew how to use hashtags. And I thought that was going to work, but obviously in business, you're wrong until you try it. That's why you have to try everything. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess I don't get hurt by failure. If anything, I kind of try to encourage it so that I can figure out more quickly what actually works. So that's why I'm just a big believer in just you have to try everything. So I posted something and it didn't work. I'm like, okay, I need to either use different hashtags, different type of content. Maybe you have to put the bottle in different environments. And I started testing different pictures. And it's like, I had one picture, boom, like 10 times the engagement of other pictures. And I was like, okay, what did I do there that I didn't do in the other ones? You kind of analyze it, you keep poking at it, and then you figure out that there's something that's going to work. And then you have to milk that as much as you can, because that's also one of my regrets is there was something that was working back when I first started, the first 9 months, I would say, that I kept poking around to find different things that also worked. But if I could go back, I'd probably go completely all in on that thing that was working at that moment. And, because it doesn't work as well today, nowhere near as well as it did back then.
Were you posting from your personal account at this time, or did you set up like a brand account? And, you know, how many followers did you have at the time when you started promoting?
Yeah. So, it was a separate account from personal. I actually never, I just deleted my personal account, when I made the commitment to be an entrepreneur, because it's just such a waste of time. Like people taking pictures with their dogs and like their boyfriends. And I was like, if I want to be successful, I just don't have time for this anymore. Like I understand that it's nice to be in the loop with all your friends, but right now I just need to focus on myself. So I completely deleted my personal. And then I opened up this Brains Power, but for those 3 months that I was preparing for Brains Power, I obviously couldn't post any pictures about it. So I was more posting content related to, you know, motivation and being more focused, performing better. So kind of more that type of theme. So kind of prepping my audience for the product. And I would say when I launched, I probably had maybe 1,000, maybe 2,000 followers on this kind of motivational page. And then from there, it just, like when I started promoting the product, it was more, I started going at it full force because it was no longer, like a blank page. It was an actual product page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And looking at your profile now, you know, Instagram, you're just Brains Power with the Z there. And what I see right now when I'm looking is, you know, pictures from clearly from your travels, you know, like pictures holding a bottle in front of like the Colosseum in Rome, and lots of images with, you know, super cool sports cars in the background. You're doing some variations now with like customer photos, people who take pictures with bottles, from around the world, you know, shots on the beaches, things like that. So I'm assuming that this is sort of proven to be your most engaging content medium now.
Yes. So the thing with those are is that's just a result of me testing things. And one thing that I found is everyone does very interesting things in their life, and they end up in very beautiful places. Like I live in Southern California, like it's just gorgeous here, or like anywhere I'd go to travel. So I knew that there's the pictures that you would take are absolutely gorgeous. And I knew that the best way to get responses, the best way to get engagement on photos is to put your product in an environment that stimulates the eye. So what I started doing for the past 3 years basically is I would have Brains Power in my bag, in my back pocket, everywhere I went. I even have it like right now in my backpack. So I'll just take it anywhere we go. And if I would see an opportunity, to take a picture that, you know, would work on Instagram specifically, I would just take it, post it, and it would get good engagement. And that was one of the things in the beginning, is I would take pictures that would make more sense. A bottle that, helps your focus and your memory and your productivity, things like that, is kind of far drawn from, let's say, like a car picture. But when you think about it, if you increase your focus and your memory, your productivity, you're kind of achieving more. So it kind of, if you go down the tunnel, it makes a little bit of sense. But before, I'll take a picture with, like, say a book, like a biology book my freshman year, and that'd get almost no engagement because it makes more sense. Cause it's like, oh, you want to focus more. Here's a book. Here's the product. That's how you use it. But it's just not the case that, like you're not going to get any engagement. Your performance on that post is going to do poorly. You're not going to get on hashtags. People aren't going to share it, things like that, tag people in it. So you have to, get your product message across while still appealing to, the person's, interests. When they look on Instagram, they want to see something beautiful. That's the whole point of a picture app.
Right. I think it's also a little bit of, selling people what they want, the shiny object, and then giving them what they need, right? Because the immediate application is, yes, you're going to be using this to hit the books harder, not to, hop into a Ferrari tomorrow. But I get that, there's sort of the connection to what the long-term payoff could be if you, can actually benefit from these supplements. So, Andrew, I got to ask you, I don't personally know much about, the supplements and pharmaceutical related fields, but what does, regulation look like around this? Because I know your product is produced in an FDA licensed laboratory. I assume that you did a lot of your homework with coming up with the compounds and the right sort of mixture of everything that goes into Brains Power. But what did that look like from sort of the process of, like, you've done all your research, you come to this laboratory that you partner with, and this is what you want to create? Did they help sort of shift that over time with you, or has it been sort of, immediately what you envisioned is the product still today?
So the product, I myself can have no say in formulating it because I'm not a specialist. I'm not licensed. I'm not a scientist. So basically I come to the laboratory with a vision. I was like, I need a formula that helps with your mental performance. And then the scientists, they completely formulate everything. They pick the ingredients that can be mixed together.
Gotcha.
They buy the ingredients themselves. They put it into the capsules themselves. And what I did is, because I was an athlete and I was so careful on everything I put in my body, I wanted to create a product with the highest regulations possible. That's why I stayed in the US. That's why I went to an FDA approved facility. I went to the highest measures that you could possibly go within the supplement industry prior to doing this. I went and toured the facility. Every single person has masks on, like medical suits. It literally looks like just like a hospital. It's so clean. And, I toured the facility before even talking to them. I toured all the facilities that I could. And then I was just so happy with this one company. But the thing is it's not like I'm like, oh, put these ingredients together and that's it. No, the scientists have to do everything and then they get the approval for it. And then they bring it to me and I can then buy it from them. That's how everything works.
And so the way it's structured with the laboratory is you actually have some sort of like exclusive licensing agreement then or something with them.
Yeah. So I just buy the formula from them. Yes.
I like that. Okay. So Andrew, I want to shift over, ask you some of my frequently asked questions now, and I've designed them to be intentionally short on my end. Your answers do not need to be equally so.
Okay.
What would be your number one piece of advice to someone listening today who wants to start working on a side hustle, but maybe they don't have the right idea that really motivates them, or maybe they do have the idea, they just can't find the time and the motivation to actually get started? What's your advice to someone who wants to get started today?
My advice to someone who wants to get started is the same thing that I did with my actions, is just start as soon as possible. Because the way I thought about it is, 10 years of experience as a worker is not the same as 3 years of experience as a business owner, as an entrepreneur. Like, nothing will prep you for entrepreneurship. So if that's actually what you want to go into, I feel like you have to start practicing. And as far as side hustle goes, I obviously am still a college student and I have like certain duties in addition to the company. And I think the best thing to do is I feel like I'm just a purebred entrepreneur. I love everything that I do. So it doesn't even feel like work. As soon as I get from school, I go immediately into working and the hours are long. I don't sleep especially that much anymore. I work on the weekends. I work when all the other kids are partying. It's like, if you think about it, I'm always busy. But that's just like, I do it with a smile on my face the entire time. So I wouldn't even say that it's working. So if you can find something that you're so passionate about, if you're passionate about entrepreneurship and you develop a product that, you just love doing, love selling, love, you know, marketing or whatever it is, it's just going to be so much fun. So I would say that like running a business is just pure joy for me. So I would say, just get started as soon as possible. Like you're never going to be ready. I think the reason why it's better just to start early before you're completely ready, before you have your experience, quote unquote, before you have enough money, the perfect strategy, whatever. You're never going to have any of those. You're never going to have enough money. The product is never going to be perfect. And I just realized that. So I started as soon as I could. And, you know, Brains, the website has been redone numerous times. The label has been redone numerous times. I've added a second product. Now I have more money to put in different avenues. The strategies have changed so much. So I just kind of knew that all of this would happen. And so that was my focus, is just getting started and fixing it along the way. And I think that's the way you should do it, because people can wait their entire lives before they, you know, are completely ready. And even when you're ready, most things don't even work, you know? So mm-hmm. better just to get started, I would say, is the number one thing.
I love that. Great advice. So Andrew, another thing you mentioned earlier on in our interview here is that, you know, it took you around 6 weeks to get to a point where you were selling about $1,000 in product a day. So where are you guys now? Like, what's your average month looking like as far as revenue?
So the revenue is kind of the same, on pace with that. I have like the problem with being a college student is you eventually get to a point where you can't spend much more time doing things. Like my next major step as soon as I graduate is getting into those big chains, going to all of these buyers, having meetings with them, flying out to their offices, giving pitches. At the moment, I just don't have the time to dedicate that. Like it's like finals week right now. And, it's an insane life just running the business itself. So I haven't been able to grow to the company to the point that it should be. So it still has stayed there just because I have been doing the same social media strategies that I have been doing for the past few years. But I, like I said, I'm excited as soon as I finish college to finally just go full force on this and actually be able to dedicate 20 hours a day to building this company.
Yeah. So right now you're maxed out with your current inputs that you have available.
Oh yeah.
So you kind of alluded to this earlier, just a few minutes ago, but what kinds of sacrifices have you personally had to make in order to put enough time into growing the business?
I sacrificed everything. When I dedicated, you know, basically my life, I guess you could say, to starting a business, I gave up everything. Like so what I did with my schedule in school is I registered for three online classes, and then I finished those three online classes within 2 weeks. So I did all the midterms, all the exams, all the homework, like very intensely. I was working on it basically all day, finished those three classes so that during the semester, I only had two classes. And what I did that entire semester is I was researching all the rules, regulations, how to start a business, marketing strategies, how to basically do everything, how to even like apply for like a business. Like I just went from zero to everything. And what I did is I didn't do anything other than business. I barely slept. I probably slept maybe 5 hours a night, and I did it with a smile on my face because I woke up and I immediately wanted to just work. I didn't want to like stay around in bed or anything. So I didn't party. I didn't go out, hang out with friends at all during like this 6 month period. It was just business, 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 like no fun. I literally just gave up everything. And then when I came out to USC, I balanced it a little bit better, but I still work all the time. And my friends always give me a lot of, you know, crap for working Saturdays, Sundays, coming back at 9, midnight, 2 a.m. on weekdays. I'm just always working, and they're like back home, like partying or watching football games or whatever. And I'm never there. And I don't feel bad about it because I'm doing what I want to do. I don't especially want to be, you know, hanging out watching a football game anymore when I have bigger things to do. So
how do you handle order fulfillment? Are you, you know, personally boxing and shipping every order that comes through, or does the laboratory sort of do all that? Or is there maybe even a middleman that does that for you?
So in the beginning, I did everything. And then towards, I got to a point where I was doing so many orders that I was spending so much time every single day just, so I think it was about when I got to maybe 20 orders a day is when it just became too much, because you'd print the label out, you would cut it out, then you'd put the bottles into the bag, you would tape it on, and then that's one. And then you had to do that 20 times. So I came to this point where, you know, 2 hours packing bags and things like that was just not worth my time anymore. I could spend these 2 hours trying to, you know, sell product instead and probably make more than just handing it off to someone. So I would say for the first maybe 5 months, I was kind of doing it myself. But then I got to that point and I decided to go to a drop shipper. And what happens is my lab, they make the product, they bottle it, they and then they ship it to this warehouse. And then I have workers at the warehouse that I just send how much and what address to send the products to. So that's what it is at this point.
I like that. I think that's a really smart place to remove yourself from the business, especially when, you know, it's something that just about anyone can do.
Yeah. Well, that's also one of the things that might be worth mentioning is in the beginning, I think you should be doing all aspects of the business just so that you know your business inside and out. So I kind of know how long it should take or how much it should cost to send one bottle versus 20 bottles out, because I've done it before. But then I also think that it's good to just have that foundation moving forward. But as soon as you get to a point, you need to be spending your time most effectively and efficiently. So you only have a certain amount of hours in a day and you have to maximize those. So as a business owner, all of these kind of mindless activities that you know, you shouldn't really be wasting your time on when you can be doing bigger things, you should find people that could help you with that. For example, just a different, you know, example of this is I started putting out YouTube, content recently. And what I did is like everything, I just jump into it before I'm ready. And I started editing the videos myself. I was filming them, coming up with ideas myself. And I came to the point where it's just so much time goes to just editing and fixing up the recorded version of whatever you do that it's much better just to hire a filmer and have them do all of that while you just, you know, you say whatever you need to say and then you hand it off to them. So I wouldn't have known that had I not jumped into it. So I started doing that. I did 10 videos for 10 days straight. And I was like, I can't run a company, be a college student and, you know, film and edit videos myself. So this semester, I actually have a filmer that I'm paying. And what we do is, it's the same thing. He just does all of the work that I don't think I should be spending my time on when I could be building a company mm-hmm. same hours.
I like that. Delegate whatever you can. So Andrew, this is going to be my last question for you. What's the best investment you feel you've ever made in the context of growing your business? So this could be in the form of, you know, education, time, money, tools, products, services, or otherwise.
I think the best investment I made was just in myself and putting those first $500 in all in on my company just to, you know, almost like test the waters of entrepreneurship out. I think the most important investment is when you invest in yourself and your own capabilities and things like that. I think outside of that, you know, just investing into the company and, you know, running more ads or whatever it may be aren't as impactful, but that initial investment, just believing in yourself, I think was the biggest one that I have had.
I love it. Awesome. Well, Andrew, thank you for being here on the podcast. Can you tell everyone listening today where they can go to learn more about you and everything you're up to?
So you can learn more about me mostly through Instagram or YouTube. So Instagram is Andrew The Koz, K-O-Z. And then YouTube is just Andrew Koz, K-O-Z. I put out stuff every single day, what I'm doing, where I'm going, things like that, and business tips, of course.
Beautiful. And we'll include links to all of those in the show notes. So Andrew, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Ryan. This has been a lot of fun.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of the Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.